Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Think about this. A politician who you vote for or somebody votes for gets into office and actually does what they promise they're going to do. Well, that's what's going to happen. Many people that voted for our current president, one of the things they said the most that stood out to them that they wanted him to be president, President Trump, was he was going to appoint constitutional conservative Supreme Court justices just like Neil Gorsuch. And this particular Friday, they're going to be voting. The Senate's going to be voting on him, affirming him to be our next Supreme Court justice. But first, let's take a look when our president nominated him. Let's take a look at Justice Neil Gorsuch and who, and realize this is what we is what many people ask for in the country. This is exactly what President Trump's doing. He's delivering on his promises, and now it's for the Senate and the Congress to support the people just like they asked for. Let's take a look. Neil Gorsuch.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, you and your team have shown me great courtesy. And you've entrusted me with a most solemn assignment. Standing here in a house of history and acutely aware of my own imperfections, I pledge that if I am confirmed, I will do all my powers permit to be a faithful servant of the Constitution and laws of this great country. The Supreme Court's work is vital not just to a region of the country, but to the whole, vital to the protection of the people's liberties under law and to the continuity of our Constitution, the greatest charter of human liberty the world has ever known. Practicing in the trial work trenches of the law, I saw, too, that when we judges don our robes, it doesn't make us any smarter. But it does serve as a reminder of what's expected of us. Impartiality and independence. Collegiality and courage. I look forward to speaking with members from both sides of the aisle, to answering their questions and to hearing their concerns. I consider the United States Senate the greatest deliberative body in the world, and I respect the important role the Constitution affords it in the confirmation of our judges. I respect, too, the fact that in our legal order, it is for Congress and not the courts to write new laws. It is the role of judges to apply, not alter, the work of the people's representatives. A judge who likes every outcome he reaches is very likely a bad judge. Stretching for results he prefers rather than those the law demands. I am so thankful tonight for my family, my friends, and my faith. These are the things that keep me grounded at life's peaks and that sustain me in its valleys. Mr. President, thank you very much.
This is so important and so exciting because this is the fulfillment of those, one of those promises that says that I will nominate a conservative constitutionalist, which means he is he looks at everything through the Constitution. That's what you're supposed to do as a Supreme Court judge. You're not supposed to make laws. The Congress is the one that makes laws, and the Supreme Court is supposed to look at that law and see if it's constitutional or not. And it's so important to have somebody who defends the Constitution and looks at things that way. And Neil Gorsuch, based on the reports, is that man. Begin to pray and say, you know what, Lord, we ask you to put this conservative judge, the constitutionalist, in office, that you would touch the hearts of Congress and Senate to be able to get behind. And we got to support. Listen, if this is what you said you wanted, now it's time to stand up and say, I stand with you with this particular support. Because the Supreme Court justices have done some pretty major things in our nation. All the way from marriage issues, Roe versus Wade with abortion, the Dred Scott, which was a terrible decision that was done historically but it was done by the Supreme Court, and we're going to get a constitutionalist on the Supreme Court, which means the Congress will make laws. No longer will the Supreme Court make laws. Hopefully that'll go. And when you think about this, I think about Rick Joyner and retired General Jerry Borkin as they're talking about why it is so important for us to have a justice like this on the Supreme Court. Let's go join them now.
What is the importance of the next president possibly selecting 2 to 4 Supreme Court justices?
You know, Rick, the most enduring impact of any presidential administration is the Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. Now, given that we have allowed Supreme Court justices to make law, mm-hmm. we did that in last summer in the Obergefell decision, where they said that everybody has a right to include same-sex couples to get married. What they did is they actually made law. Mm-hmm. So when you have presidents appointing Supreme Court justices, they will be there long after that president has left office, and they will continue making decisions that would be aligned with that president. Now, mm-hmm. the question as we go into the 2016 election is, do you want Supreme Court justices that are going to be aligned more with the likes of Kagan, the likes of Sotomayor, the very liberal one, Justice Ginsburg? Mm-hmm. Or do you want a Supreme Court justice that for the next 20 to 30 years is going to be making decisions that are more aligned with traditional American values, like Clarence Thomas, mm-hmm. you know, like Sam Alito, mm-hmm. and others that have stood the test of time, I think, in terms of their respect for the Constitution and their respect for American values? This whole country will revolve around potentially a single Supreme Court decision, a single Supreme Court justice. As it did, think about this, one man, not five, really one, that could have gone either way.
Four and four balance.
That's right. One man set the tone for the future of America's moral climate when they made that decision last summer on Obergefell, mm-hmm. and said that same-sex marriage was a constitutional right. Mm-hmm. Now, regardless of where you come down on that issue, and you know very clearly where I come down on it, mm-hmm. but regardless of where you come down, you also have to look at that is judicial supremacy. That is not what our founding fathers expected the Supreme Court to be. In fact, I think it's important to remember that they never expected the Supreme Court or the executive branch to be the most powerful of the three branches.
No.
They expected it to be the Congress. Mm. And look at their writings, look at their orations, and you'll see that they feared a king. And they definitely did not want nine people to have the power and authority to determine the future of America.
Yeah, and to legislate, which
That's
is
right.
not constitutional.
That's exactly right.
You know, and they're doing things that are unconstitutional. And but you're right, the impact, the long-term impact of a Supreme Court justice, and our Supreme Court has gotten far from the moorings of the Constitution.
That's right.
Even, you know, The Chief Justice said that last decision had nothing to do with the Constitution.
Yeah.
It was completely disconnected and, to me, has no authority.
Right.
And you say, well, if Supreme Court made the decision, it's the law now. No, it isn't.
That's right. It
Dred Scott decision was right. as evil as any decision ever. They had to overturn it. The Supreme Court can be wrong, and they should be impeached when they do things that are contrary to the Constitution like that. But it's what Jefferson warned on when he warned about, he saw judicial tyranny.
That's right.
Being the biggest threat to our republic that would tear us apart, where one person could impose their morality or immorality on the whole nation, like just happened with that. And the Supreme Court is not given that authority by our Constitution.
You know, here's the other thing, Rick, and it's not just the Supreme Court appointments. It's appointments in lower-level courts, mm-hmm. federal courts, because the future Supreme Court justices are going to come out of those courts.
Mm-hmm.
Almost inevitably, they'll come out of those courts. If you remember a couple of years ago, President Obama demanded that he put two more people on the Tenth Circuit Court, the D.C. Court. Well, they didn't need it. Their workload is not heavy enough. And the Republicans argued it's not a heavy enough workload. You don't need two more. What was he doing?
He knew a lot of the appeals were going to come through that court.
That's exactly right.
And it would land at the Supreme Court.
That's exactly right. And he knew that the history of Supreme Court justices is weighted in terms of them coming out of the Tenth Circuit Court.
This is so exciting when you think about what's happening. We're coming to that point. They're making the decision on Friday. We've been praying for this. it's so important to have, you know, somebody who has a view of the Constitution that it is what it is and things need to line up with it. Every congressman, every senator, every president, every judge, every sheriff, they also, every military person, they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and defend it from enemies foreign and domestic. So it's just so important to be able to have somebody like Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. This is so exciting. You know, I heard somebody, I wish we would have that for you on the program today, but there was a parliamentarian in Great Britain standing up before all of Parliament saying that President Trump will be the first politician ever criticized for fulfilling his promises.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? He actually, this is unusual for somebody to promise something on the campaign trail. People vote for them to be able to come and make these particular changes, and they follow through. The odd thing I see is how America said we wanted this, and when it comes time to doing it, it's almost like people forget.
Isn't that what happens unfortunately?
What's important is that, you know, our borders, it is important that we seal our borders. It is important to have a Supreme Court that goes by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's like not having the Constitution is like a fish aquarium without the aquarium. Mm. The water doesn't just stay there, it just pours out all over the place. And if the Constitution is not held in America, it's like having no borders, no law, no anything. I mean, everything that happens, Washington only exists because of the Constitution. Everything that happens in Washington, not everything, but the core of what's going on there, it's written in the Constitution that there will be a this, there'll be a that, there'll be a, right. You know, and it's there, which means you do away with that, you do away with them.
Well,
we won't talk about that. But you think about this. You think about, you know, why are we losing our liberties? And we are losing our liberties. Things are changing dramatically. And this particular professor from Princeton University, he's a professor of Jewish jurisprudence, and his name is Robert George. He's talking about something, you know, why it's happening, because we're turning to the Supreme Court instead of our Congress. But people don't just take it away. People give them away. Mm. People are giving their freedoms and their liberties away because somebody's promising them, we'll take care of you, we'll do this for you, we'll pay for your stuff. They don't make money. The government doesn't make money. They can only take it from you. And so when you say that, basically you're saying, I'll be a slave to the government. And you know, what's a slave? A slave is basically a tax rate. If you are 100% slave, you are 100% tax. You work all day and you give all your money to the government, to the master, right? If you're at 50% tax rate, in other words, 50% of your income goes to tax, you're 50% a slave. And if you don't think you are, you don't pay the 50% in Denmark, whatever it is like around there.
Watch out what happens, right?
Yeah, it's no longer the happiest place to live anymore because they're going to do something to you. And so when you start giving up, you know, things like your liberties and saying they'll take care of you, one particular person that came out of communism said communism is the greatest temptation to a man's flesh because they say they're going to do everything, but it never ends up that way.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Listen, this is Robert George, the professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, with Prager University, helping us understand why this is so important that we don't need to give up our liberties.
How did the framers of the Constitution of the United States seek to preserve liberty and prevent tyranny? Pretty basic question. Here's the answer I usually get from my students. Well, Professor, to protect the individual and minorities against the tyranny of the majority, they added the Bill of Rights. They gave the power to enforce those rights to the Supreme Court. Are my students correct? The editorial boards of the New York Times or the Washington Post and many members of the U.S. Congress would say yes. Unfortunately, the answer is wrong. I say unfortunately because it reflects a common misunderstanding of the Constitution. And that misunderstanding has led to a serious erosion of our freedom. Let me explain. Both the Bill of Rights and judicial review, the idea that the courts can decide if a law is constitutional or not, were hotly debated items when the Constitution was being drafted in 1789. The Federalists, the group led by Alexander Hamilton that wanted a national constitution, opposed including a Bill of Rights. They feared it would actually undermine what the Federalists regarded as the main protections against tyranny in the document, the limited nature of the national government itself. The Constitution did not envision a national government of general jurisdiction, meaning a government that could do whatever it wanted, but rather a government of enumerated and delegated powers. a government that had authority over only specific areas of American life. All other powers were to be beyond the scope of the national government and reserved to the states or to the American people themselves. That's why when political necessity forced the Federalists to yield to demands for a Bill of Rights, they took care to add two important amendments, the 9th and 10th. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. These amendments reinforce the idea that the national government couldn't just assume powers it had not been specifically granted by the Constitution. Unfortunately, these amendments have not stymied the expansion of the national authority. The power grab the Federalists feared, the national government taking more and more control over more and more areas of American life, took place. Not immediately, but over time, and especially beginning in the second half of the 20th century. That same time frame has seen a similar concentration of power in the judiciary, especially in the Supreme Court, so that now most Americans think of the Supreme Court as the ultimate arbiter of almost every social and political dispute. The founders never envisioned the court in this role. How has the court fared in playing it? Well, there have been moments of glory, to be sure, such as in the racial desegregation case of Brown against the Board of Education in the 1950s. But it has also handed down decision after decision, from Dred Scott against Sanford in the 1850s, which facilitated the expansion of slavery, to Roe against Wade in the 1970s, which legalized abortion throughout the United States, in which the justices have plainly overstepped the bounds of their authority by creating law from the bench, thereby further expanding their own power and that of the national government. Moreover, the Supreme Court has done little to stop the executive and legislative branches of the national government from unconstitutionally overreaching. Recently, the court found a way, by a bare majority, to uphold an obvious case of constitutional overreach by the national government, the imposition of a law, or individual mandate as it is known, requiring every citizen to purchase health insurance coverage as part of President Obama's signature Affordable Care Act. The government defended this mandate as a legitimate exercise of its expressly delegated power to regulate commerce among the states. The trouble is that the mandate does not regulate commerce at all. Rather, it forces people into commerce on pain of a financial penalty. But why did the issue get to the courts at all? Congress and the president should have recognized and honored the fact that the Constitution simply does not empower the national government to impose a mandate on the people to purchase products, whether health insurance or anything else. We've drifted a long way from the original vision of the founders. The further we've drifted, the more powerful the national government has grown, and the less free Americans have become. Freedom can be taken away, but it can also be given away out of sheer ignorance. If we Americans, we the people, want to get some of that freedom back, we need to read America's founding documents. All the freedom we ever wanted is there. I'm Robert George, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University for Prager University.
This is so important because you're looking at a constitutionalist Supreme Court judge then would push the powers back to Congress and let them make the laws. Having somebody come in and say we want to make laws at the Supreme Court level is a violation of the original intent of the Constitution. That's why Neil Gorsuch is such an important placement for the whole nation. Everybody in the entire nation will benefit from a Supreme Court judge like that. As a matter of fact, the President Trump addressed this in his weekly address. Let's join the president now at the White House addressing this very thing in the weekly address.
My fellow Americans, it's an exciting time for our country. Our new administration has so much change underway, change that is going to strengthen our union and improve so many people's lives. In the next few days, the Senate will be taking a very important step, one that will protect the rule of law and democratic way of life that is absolutely a birthright of all Americans. And it involves one of my most important actions as president. That was nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch. to fill the seat of the late, great Justice Antonin Scalia. Judge Gorsuch is incredibly qualified. He has a sterling record. He was confirmed unanimously to the Court of Appeals. But Judge Gorsuch's nomination is about more than his incredible qualifications. It's about preserving our republic. In their great wisdom, the founders placed legislative powers in its own separate branch of government. Elected representatives from all across the country come together, they host hearings, they listen to the concerns of the people, and then they try to write laws that address those concerns and make life better for all Americans. It's a process that is meant to take time and energy to ensure that every new law will better serve our wonderful citizens. That's how our democratic process works. The duty of judges, therefore, is not to rewrite the laws, but to uphold the laws and to apply the Constitution as written. That is the solemn duty of every justice on the Supreme Court, and this is what Judge Gorsuch will do. In recent years, we've seen more and more judges make decisions not based on the Constitution or the rule of law, but based on their preferences, their personal views, or even their political opinions. Each time a judge substitutes their own opinions for an unbiased reading of the law, they damage our democracy. They put their own will above the will of the people, and they undermine the legislative process that has always been the heartbeat of our democracy. The Senate will soon have the chance to help preserve our democratic institutions for our children by voting to confirm Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Judge Gorsuch is going to serve our people by devoting himself to our beloved Constitution. The Senate saw this firsthand in hours of Judge Gorsuch's impressive testimony. In every step of the process, what has been clear to all is that Judge Gorsuch is a man who respects the law. He defends the Constitution, and in so doing, he will protect our freedoms. With Judge Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, America will be a more free, fair, and just nation for all of our citizens. Thank you, and God bless you.
It's for us to stand up and pray and support our leaders and say, and this is what we ask for. We ask for somebody who is a legal constitutionalist who, you know, does exactly what the president's talking about. And it's happening. And they're saying it will happen Friday, but we need to pray for our leaders. They're getting a lot of pressure from people who don't want to go by the Constitution, and so we stand up for them.
This is so important because, as we know, there's so many cases that are going to be taken to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And one of the biggest ones, I believe, will eventually get there is Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
And so, you know, this is an important thing about ending abortion. We want to pray, and we don't want to pass off and say someone else would do it. We want to be engaged. We want to pray every time on this program. We end our program with
end abortion. If we want God to move in the Third Great Awakening, we can't keep shedding innocent blood. Yeah. And the thing about it, believe it or not, people thought in their own minds at one time, some people, not everybody, they thought that they were on the right side of history when they actually enslaved their brother.
Yeah.
But now history proves them totally wrong. You're going to be on the wrong side. If you're for abortion, you're on the wrong side of history, because technology is increasing in such a way that they can actually, by science, see the life that's in the mother's womb, and it's consciously knowing that it's going to be taking that child's life and ending on the. It makes a difference who's going to be in the Supreme Court backing up the laws that our Congress passes, because right now our Congress would pass a law that supports life in the womb, but it needs a Supreme Court that doesn't overthrow that law.
Or legislate law from the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Or violate their position.
Right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.